This is the chat with Mrs. Burns' third grade.
I'm Rowan.
I'm Jade.
I'm Ben.
I'm Isabella.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Lincoln.
I'm Maggie.
And I'm Jack. Our question today is, how does teamwork help everybody? Joining us from Ann Arbor, Michigan, is our very special guest, Kim Barnes-Arico, head of coach of women's basketball at the University of Michigan. Thank you for joining us, Coach Arico, and welcome to the chat.
It is great to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right.
The first question we have to ask is, what makes your team good?
Well, I think it's important to have talented players, but it's also really important that those players work together and find great chemistry and have great teamwork and understand each other's roles.
And so, how can you get a group of individuals with different ideas to work together and focus on one goal?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is put your goal out there, and you have to have a goal for your team. And then, as the head coach, you have to decide what everybody's part is on your team and how they can help your team reach that goal. And each player has a different part. So just like in your classroom, you know, if you have a group project, some people are better at speaking and asking the questions. Some people are better at doing the research. Some people are better at writing the story, and maybe some are better at drawing the pictures. On our team, we have certain players that are better scorers and better shooters. Then we have other players that are the best defenders, other players that are best passers. It's getting all of those different pieces to buy into the common goal, and that is the goal of winning. And
well,
just because, okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, that's kind of funny because just a couple days ago, Sarah was talking about how we all have our own things. Like, some people are like the thinkers, some people are like the people that like talk, and researchers. So we were just talking about that a couple days ago too, and she had a great point.
Yeah, I drawn out like a little graph that was showing it.
Yeah.
That's a great point, and maybe we can use that with our team too, because I think one of the really important things for your group project to know and our team to know is, just because you don't feel like you have the most important job doesn't mean your job isn't that important. So we really have to teach our team that the person that scores the most points, sometimes that is great to outside people, and sometimes that is great in the newspaper and people see pictures of that person. But really, the person that is making the pass for that person to score, or the person that is playing great defense, has just an important role. Their role is as important as the person that's scoring the points. So even when you talk about your project, you know, maybe the person that's asking the question seems like their role is more important, but really the person that's the thinker or the person that, you know, is the presenter are equally as important.
Yeah, like a person could be like really good at shooting, but like really bad at defending, so.
Right.
Is it important for everyone on your team to be friends? And if so, does that help them work together?
Well, you know, we always talk about in your classroom, I'm sure you guys face this sometimes too, not everyone is going to be best friends, but it's true in your family too. Sometimes your younger brother or sometimes your older sister, they drive you crazy. And you know, you get angry at them sometimes, but we talk about with our team, when we step on the court to perform, we have to put those differences aside. So we say we don't have to be best friends, but we're like a family, and you have to respect each other. And the same is probably true in your class. You may not play together after school, and you may not hang out on the weekend, but when you're together for a project, everybody needs to have a certain amount of respect for each other. And the same is true with our team. During practices, we respect each other, and we might not be best friends off the court, but when we're teammates, that's like a family.
Why do you think collaboration is important?
Well, I think when you collaborate with somebody, you have different people that have different ideas and different strengths and different weaknesses. So when you put it all together, it's so much better than just an individual performance. So, you know, like I chose to coach a team sport over an individual sport because I really like a part of putting all those pieces together and working together and finding everyone's strengths and then mixing that all up and having a better finished product than you would as an individual.
So, how does cooperation between teammates occur? How does non-cooperation between teammates occur, and what can a leader do about it?
That's a great question. And I think sometimes when you're doing projects or when I'm coaching a team, it's really important that people feel like their voice is being heard. But then in the heat of the battle, so for us, when the game comes, we can't have everybody speaking at the same time because then we really wouldn't be accomplishing our goal. And that's when you have to have a leader. So, you know, we spend a lot of time where everybody needs to have a voice. And I think it's really important for probably everybody in your class to be able to communicate, but really everybody on our team, because it's important for people to feel like people are listening to them and that they're being heard. So there's a time and a place for all that to happen. And practice, you know, each individual can have a little bit more of a voice. But when the game comes, it's an opportunity for the leader to know, hey, you know, what's really important and what do I really need to listen to right now, because we're in the battle and we're trying to win this game. So we can't have everybody talking at once. Everybody needs to be working together and being on the same page. And sometimes, probably when you guys give a presentation or when you're in a group project, there's a point where everybody can have a voice. But when you're moving forward and you're presenting, you need to have only one voice, and that would be the leader of your group at that time. And the same is true with our team.
Well, what can you do as a coach when the people on your team have disagreements?
I think it's really important for me as a coach to have a great relationship with all the people on our team. So if I know somebody is really struggling and somebody is really frustrated and somebody feels as if they're not being heard, I have special meetings with them. And I talk to them after practice and I talk to them before practice so they feel like someone is listening to them and that they're being heard. And then sometimes I have team meetings where we let everybody talk and everybody say what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And then from those team meetings, when everybody speaks, when we move out to the court, then, you know, we follow the leader and the team follows the coach. But I think it's really important as a coach that I listen to everyone on my team and I let everyone feel as if they have a voice and an important role on our team.
If one person doesn't cooperate, how does that affect the team?
That really affects the team. And we talk about chemistry, and I don't know, you guys probably understand what that means, but the more connected our group is and the more we feel like we have the same goals and everybody is on the same page, the more successful we are. So when you have one person that isn't really following the rules or isn't really a part of the team or kind of doing their own thing, I think it really is disruptive to the team. So that's when you have to have special meetings and special conversations. And there does come a point as a coach on a team that you have to make a decision, is this person, is it in our best interest of our team to have this person still on our team? Because if you have someone that's so disruptive to the chemistry of your team, you might have to make a change and maybe they would find a different team that would be more successful for them. But it's really important that we get everybody to have the same mindset and everybody to buy into the team goal.
Like Ms. Burns, our teacher, said that you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Yep, that is true. And we talk about that all the time with our team, whether that we're doing running drills or we're doing layup drills or we're doing free throws, and we have everybody that makes 8 out of 10 free throws, and we have one person on our team that makes 4 out of 10 free throws, you know, that really hurts our team, because now if she's in the game, we don't feel the confidence that she's going to make those free throws. So it's really important for that individual to get up with everybody else on the team. So we talk about, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link as well. That's something we use at practice all the time. And I don't know if your class, you know, if you guys are familiar with Michigan, but we had a famous football coach called Bo Schembechler, and he would always say, no man is more important than the team. No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team, the team, the team. And if we all think this way, all of us, everything that you do, you can take in consideration what effect does it have on the team. So that was kind of Bo Schembechler's quote, and he always says, the team, the team, the team. And that's why everybody's kind of got to be on the same page.
So what is the benefit when your basketball team works together?
I think when your team works together, you can accomplish more than great teams that don't work together. So sometimes you see teams that may have a little less talent, or teams that are very talented, but they don't work together and they're not very successful. And then you have great, great teams that work together, and they can beat those teams that maybe have more talent but don't work together and don't have great chemistry.
Yeah, so is it difficult for you to collaborate as an adult?
I think that one of the most important things that we learn as an adult, and we try to teach our players in our program, and I'm sure Mrs. Burns tries to teach you, is that communication is really important. And sometimes people get nervous, and sometimes people are afraid that they're going to get in trouble or afraid that they're going to get yelled at, so they don't really speak. And we try to teach in our program that you have to be able to communicate. And as an adult, when you say collaboration or cooperation, I think it's really important that you feel as if you have a voice, and that you're an advocate for what's important to you and your program. But then sometimes everything might not go your way. And as a grown-up, you realize, okay, even though it doesn't go my way, I still have to buy into the team. And that's one of the biggest things that our players have to learn when they come to us, because everybody is coming to us as a great high school player, one of the best in their state, one of the best in their area, and then we're trying to take 12 of them and make a team. So they might not be the best scorer anymore, or they might not be the best that in their eyes they think is the best, but what's most important is for the team's success. So there's a lot that goes into that, and I think you guys are learning about all that stuff, it sounds like, in your class now.
How do you collaborate with your fellow coaches?
Great question, and that's a really important question as well, because I think the more successful our coaches are and the more our coaches get along, I think our players can see that. And I think we are role models for our players, just like the teachers in your school show the example, your parents at home show the example for you guys and how they want you to behave. It's important for our coaches to show our players how we want them to act and how we want them to behave. So we spend a lot of time planning practices. We spend a lot of time, like after this meeting today, we're going to have a meeting with our coaches about the upcoming season and getting our players ready for the upcoming season and talking about how we're going to get our players to be the best that they can be. And that's from a basketball standpoint, but also in the classroom academically. And we work together on most of the projects that we have, and we come together. So when our players come back, we're a united front, and we're a team, and we're the first team that they're seeing. So we're an example for them.
What do you do if you think your idea is the best, but no one will listen?
Yeah, that's frustrating. That's a great question. And I think, you know, that's something that we have a lot with our team and with our staff. And part of growing up or maturing is to be able to say, okay, and go with somebody else's idea. And then maybe next time the plan is, okay, we're going to try your idea. And then maybe next time somebody else's idea. And then if you have an opportunity to try all those and see what is best, then you can go with the one that works best. But sometimes you might not have the chance to do that. Sometimes you might have one meeting or one practice, and we have to say this is the only idea that we have a chance to do. And I think it's really important for you to be able to say, I'm okay with that, and put your, like we always say, put 2 feet in, or really tell your teammate or tell your classmate that, okay, I'm going to believe in your idea and I'm going to go with that, and not always have in your head, oh, well, mine's better, oh, well, mine's better, because then I don't think you're really making a commitment to the other person's idea. And then hopefully the next go around, somebody will listen or somebody will try your idea. But that's part of being a part of a team, is that you don't always get your way all the time. But ultimately, it's for the success of your group or your team.
You've given us great advice, but do you have any more advice for getting teams to collaborate effectively?
Well, you know, a lot of times what we do, and I'm sure you do it in your class as well, is we have small working groups. And those small working groups are in charge of different things. And then we will bring them all together. And then we'll say, okay, so say, for example, we're trying to develop a handbook for our team, which includes all the things important for the women's basketball players at the University of Michigan. So, you know, what's important in our locker room, and what's important going to class, and what's important, so, you know, going to study hall or talking to your teachers or different things. And we have our team really come up with what's important. So I think it's initially everybody has a voice, and then you got to put together and present your final product. And the same with our team at practice. Trying to give everybody an opportunity to have a voice, but also really understanding your role and trying to find where your strength is. And if each person has a different strength, when you put them all together, that total team package can be incredible. And that's what we do with our team. We try to find what each person's strength is. And sometimes there's a little overlap. Sometimes we have a really great scorer, and then we have somebody else that really has to score, or somebody that might be our best defender, but they also could be our second best passer. And we try to find out everybody's strengths and put them together and have everybody understand that they're contributing. And sometimes that's hard to do, you know, but we try to appreciate and value the smallest role. So say, for example, we have a kid on our team that when she goes into the game, she's not a scorer and she really doesn't take too many shots, but she took a charge, and I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's a defensive play where someone runs into you and you step in there and you get hit and you fall on the ground, and then your team gets the ball back. So she took a charge in a game last year. So it was a tie back. Actually, I think our team was up by 1 point. The other team was coming down with 10 seconds on the clock. So if the other team scores, they're going to win the game. So we just needed to get one stop on defense to win the game. And this young lady stepped in there, and the girl on the other team shot the ball, and the ball went through the basket. So if it counted, the other team would have won, and the referee blew the whistle, and she called a charge, which meant the basket didn't count, and we won the game. So most people would think you need to score a basket to win a game, or at the end of the game, who was your leading scorer? But really, we had a young lady that took a charge to help us win the game. So the value of everyone's role on your team and how important it is to have different people do different things. And her name doesn't show up on TV as our leading scorer or anything like that, but she made a play that helped us win the game. So I just think working together and understanding your part in the big piece of it is really, really, really important.
Yeah, it's kind of like a puzzle, because, and like each person is a different puzzle piece, and you have to like put all of their strengths together to finish the puzzle and win the game.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the chat, and you gave us great advice. Thank you, Coach Errico, and best of luck to you and your team.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mrs. Burns, third grade class. Have a great rest of the year, and bye, Ben.
Please join us next week on the chat with Mrs. Burns' third grade, and don't forget to subscribe in iTunes.
Bye.
Thank you so much for coming. Bye.